Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. And this podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
David, we have a very special guest who's going to lead off the program today on the line, and I suppose we should go to the man of the hour, the man of the day, the man of the week, the man of the year, the one, the only, the inimitable Carl Paladino. Carl, thanks for joining us.
Hi, fellas. How are we doing?
Best day of our lives, but the biggest question is, how are you doing, Mr. Paladino?
Well, I think we did very well in the hearing, and my attorney, Dennis Fackel, he was just amazing this morning. He did the closing, and he very clearly brought all the evidence in a logical order to illustrate that the issues in this hearing are a lot deeper than the surface of me making disclosures from a confidential session.
I think we all know them, but in Carl Paladino's mind, tell us what the deeper issues are. And this is something, Carl, that I consider to be almost a freedom of speech case.
Well, let me start by saying Commissioner Elia gave us great latitude and really conducted a very good hearing, allowing us the ability to explain in particulars the scheme that was put together between Phil Rumor and the teachers union and the majority members of the board, all of whom were supported by Phil Rumor in the election of May of 2015 or 16. In the election, majorities flipped from the, I'll say, the status quo, the anti-status quo people to the status quo people. And that was part of Phil Rumor's grand plan. Obviously, he spent a lot of money, and Teresa Figgs, when she testified, was clear to say that she had a great deal of support, both in people resource and in money from NYSA, the New York State United Teachers, as did the others who composed the majority. That support was important for Rumor's scheme. Back in 2015, we had considered, because everybody wants the teachers' contract settled, we considered hiring a pro, a professional negotiator, an attorney. His name was Terrence O'Neill, to represent us and represent the board in negotiations with Rumor. You know, personally, I'd watched Rumor over 36 years. He's a brilliant negotiator, and he's a very good tactician, and he's a schemer, and his objective was to satisfy his need to do right by, or what he thought was right by, the teachers. It never had anything to really do with the kids and making sure that the kids were taken care of and given a fair opportunity for an education. So we recognized that need, and we hired Terry O'Neill while Ogilvie was superintendent. And basically that's when Phil Rumor's plan began, because he took it from that and did everything he could to frustrate the efforts of Terry O'Neill and not come to the table. Even on a number of occasions, planning a meeting, and then at the last minute after O'Neill drove in from Syracuse, telling them that he had to adjourn the meeting. He did that 10 or 12 times, and as a result, O'Neill was somewhat frustrated. There was also an issue that involved a PERB ruling concerning the fact that O'Neill was putting new issues onto the table to discuss rather than the old issues from 13 years ago that with time those issues had changed and the ability to function the ability for the school district to function changed in many, many ways. So, but as is the case with most attempts to change the status quo, the PERB officer ruled against us, and we knew that we would have success on appealing that order, but it would obviously take some time to do it. In any event, the rumor scheme then was to now, by way of Mrs. Nevergold and Sharon Cotman, complain, have them complain at every meeting about the legal bills that we were paying to Mr. O'Neill, which in the context of a $1.5 billion contract were negligible amounts of money. But nevertheless, they filed these complaints. Then in May of 2016, when they won the majority, everybody knew that Barbara Nevergold was going to be the new president of the board. And it's pretty obvious at that point that Nevergold or somebody else from the board went to Kreiner Cash and said, look, Kreiner, this man hasn't made any progress. We paid him a ton of money. You're much smarter than he is. You can handle this contract negotiation. You go right in there and you handle it and fire this attorney. We don't need him. So without consulting with the entire board, Kreiner Cash fired Terrence O'Neill, and then became the chief negotiator for the district in the contract negotiations, thinking, you know, thinking very honestly in his own mind, I'm sure, that he could take on Phil Remore. Well, we knew that he couldn't take on Phil Remore, and we were shocked when we saw that he had fired the attorney, and we then became very alert to everything that was happening with that contract negotiation.
We're speaking with Carl Palladino. Today was the final day of a removal hearing that took place in Albany. And Carl, I got to tell you, this wasn't exactly, I don't think we're familiar with this sort of thing before. I don't think many people have seen this process and the power that this commissioner, Mary Ellen Ilya, has. There was it seemed that Frank Miller, who was the school board attorney, his agenda was to just rile you up, to get you to lose your composure. And at towards the end of the cross, it appears that the commissioner basically said to the attorney, hey, listen, you ask your question, let Mr. Palladino answer it.
Yeah, his tactics were somewhat of a fumbler, in my opinion. He bounced around. I challenged him in many cases about many of the questions he was asking. And what he was advocating was simply that the reason that I was trying to expose the discussion about the contract negotiations in executive session, that my reasoning was personal, because it has to be a personal gain, and my reason was personal, and in fact my reason was to expose that the fact that not only did Kreiner Cash exceed his authority given by the board in a prior meeting of $10 million additional to be added to the 65, to give a total of $75 million on the contract. He exceeded that by roughly double when he went up to $138 million. He gave an additional $70 million of taxpayer money and so disabled the district that the numbers just came out a couple of weeks ago on the four-year plan. Not only will the district use every nickel of its unrestricted surplus over the next 3 years, but also that the district will have over that three-year period, a $54 million deficit, number one. Number two, be unable to further its plans to lower class sizes to 18, as we have so strongly tried to do. Number three, not allow for Kreiner Cash, is actually drafted by Larry Quinn, that plan that he put into play when he first came to do many different things, okay, in making the district better. And probably most importantly, he wouldn't have any money to use in negotiations with the other six unions who want to negotiate their contracts. He recklessly and carelessly entered into that deal because he admitted on the stand that he was told, make the deal, make the contract, you settle the contract and we'll get it voted in, we'll ratify it, whatever it is. That was how weak he was, obviously telling us in the meeting that he was worried about a strike that might hurt the district, okay, and cause a lot of chaos. And arguing with me on whether that should be a consideration in what kind of deal he comes up with.
We're talking with Carl Paladino on News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly and Bellavia. Carl, I think our listeners are familiar with the beyond a reasonable doubt standard for criminal situations and the preponderance of evidence standard for civil cases. What is the standard that you had to meet in order to not be thrown off of the Board of Education? What are we talking about? You had to convince how many people?
Yeah, you're going to have to talk to Dennis about explaining what that actual standard is as been set by prior commissioners in prior matters of this nature, that standard of proof. It's not the preponderance of the evidence. It's a greater standard than that.
And so many people, speaking with Carl Paladino, today was the final day of a hearing. Their intent is to remove Mr. Paladino from the school board. By the way, he's not assigned to a school board. There's an election. Citizens vote. This is trying to overturn an election. Now, many people on the streets that you talk to will think, well, this hearing is about the Art Voice column. This hearing has nothing to do with the Art Voice column. It really comes down to whether or not Phil Rumor claimed that a copy of a contract went on your website that was supposed to stay secret, but this same contract showed up on his website, did it not?
There was an issue over prior disclosure and the fact that, and the question of whether the contents, or whether the board on October 17th had to go into executive session because of the confidentiality of the negotiation at that point, which had been concluded, okay. Rumor and the board had argued that it had to be kept confidential because it hadn't been disclosed prior, when in fact it was the BTF that it disclosed all the terms the prior day on Saturday the 14th, or the 15th. They disclosed everything on their website.
Right.
It was already public knowledge, and to say then afterwards that I had no business, or excuse me, that they could go into and deliberate in executive session was a misnomer. That was wrong. But let me just finish that thought about the what Frank Miller was arguing today. He actually felt that my comments about Kreiner Cash being in a panic mode and about Kreiner Cash exceeding the authority that had been given to him, that those things should have been kept confidential and that the board wanted that stuff kept confidential. And thanks to Mrs. Elia, we were able to bring in the testimony that, of course, that was very incompetent judgment on his part. If we have a superintendent that's panicking over a potential strike negotiating a contract, we certainly don't want that superintendent negotiating a contract for us in the future. And Miller was trying to make an argument that, because it would hurt future negotiations with other unions, which is absolutely nonsensical. And I told him that.
You know, Carl, I disagree with David on this one, because I believe everything you've gone through was, in fact, based on what you told Art Voice. I think that after the whole Art Voice thing happened, I think they were just looking for some reasonably plausible excuse to drag you on the carpet and make you go to Albany. Am I right? Am I wrong?
That's exactly what our case was, we illustrated clearly that my very wrong words on December 23rd in that first Art Voice were the actual intent. And in their own words, because this was testified to by them, we showed them a clip of Sharon Cotman making the statement in an open board meeting that if we can't get them on this, we'll get them on that. And so the reality was that they were out to get me one way or another.
Right.
They chose to exaggerate in the community the impact of my bad words. And I fully apologized, and I fully admit to and take responsibility for those words. But they wanted to take that and get me off the board for other reasons. And the other reasons are basically that I'm there to in an adversarial position to take on various issues, to expose the incompetence and the chicanery and the corruption of things like Simonelli, irresponsibly and. For no explained reason, failing to account for over $500 million in joint school construction money. That I view as my function. They don't like it. They don't like to be exposed. And for that reason, they went after me on that, on the December 23rd protected words that I rendered.
Hey, Carl, are you able to stay with us for 10 minutes before we get back to the interview, or do we have a set time? Do you have like 5 more minutes to talk to us? I want to know what your schedule is. Can you wait, or do you need to leave here by 3:30?
I'm fine with time.
Our guest, and guys, you're going to have to lock in the phones in the control room. Our guest is Carl Paladino, and Carl is actually going to take some telephone calls from you guys, 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. That's 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Carl, I know Dave has got a ton of questions for you as well, but my question is, your response to the feeling of many people, including myself, that on a local level, you're getting the same kind of media coverage and the same kind of disrespect as President Trump is receiving on the national level. Have you thought at all about that, or is that just the outsider's uninformed view?
Well, it's the whatever you want to call it, uninformed fake news. It's obviously outrageous, and it's very difficult for my family. And it's consistent. They come and they march, and they're anti everything. And it just so happens that if we're having a board meeting, they show up and they're anti me. So it's been going on and on and on. And I think what we've illustrated to the community at large in this hearing will help dissipate that nonsense of these activists. I would hope so.
You know, Carl, one of the things that I just want to reiterate, you know, no doubts that the reason the politics behind this is that, you know, this is about Art Voice. But legally, those guys couldn't go after you because of what you said, because of your First Amendment right. What are the chances? How many of these executive sessions, things that were that came out of that, how many has this commissioner adjudicated over the years? This must be a common occurrence if it's worthy of such a three-day hearing, right?
I know she's not this commissioner, but other commissioners have had similar complaints brought against board members, and I believe in most cases they have not removed.
So if the Art Voice thing doesn't happen, are you in Albany today?
I'm probably just outside of Depew right now on our way home.
Right, but I'm saying you wouldn't have had to endure this if the Art Voice thing never happened. Is that what you believe?
They've been talking about getting me off the board for a long time.
Right.
You know, they finally found what they thought was a reason. That reason didn't work because it's protected speech, even though it was bad speech by me. It is protected. So they went and they found something else. And as vocalized so clearly by Sharon Kottman in one of our board meetings, she says, if we can't get them on this, we'll get them on that. Okay. In other words, they're gunning for me, and they don't want me around because I'm the guy that fights them on their misconduct, on their incompetence, on the bad decision making, and the attempts to cover things up that shouldn't be covered up. I mean, just as Mr. Miller said, he basically said in his summary today, okay, that my discussion about the panic of Kreiner Cash and the fact that he went way outside of his authority in negotiating the contract, that should have been protected as confidential, and that will be harmful to future negotiations that Kreiner Cash will be having. And I believe just to the opposite of that. I believe the people have a right to know, and that's why I was elected, was to expose this nonsense. Okay, and for them to keep it quiet, the people won't be able to form good judgments about whether their representatives are representing them, whether our superintendent is competent to negotiate another contract, whether or not this idea that the teacher's contract was good for the people. Those are things that should have to be exposed.
So, Carl, as far as your legal representation for this witch hunt, I don't know how specific you want to be, but is it in the neighborhood of $100,000 out of your pocket?
It's a question I prefer not to answer.
All right, understood. Let's take some telephone calls for Carl Paladino on News Radio 930 WBEN. We'll start off with line two, and this is Chris in Buffalo. Chris, you're on Bowerly in Bellavia with Carl Paladino. Welcome.
Well, welcome. Thank you for having me on. I'm really calling in to say a few nice things about Carl that I know about, and I appreciate the time, and I will certainly take any questions that you'd like to ask me. I just want to tell a nice little story about Carl. I moved into South Buffalo approximately 30 years ago, and for some reason years ago, I always wanted to meet that man. And I had the opportunity to meet him a couple years ago. And how I met him was, a few years before that, I met his son, Bill. And Bill says, just approach him. He's a very approachable guy. And I was not hesitant, but I just never had the opportunity. So one day, I made it my choice to get to see him. And how I did that was I actually crashed his Christmas party at the Ellicott Square building with about 300 employees. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but I met my objective. I'll give you the quick version of the story. I reached out to him at that place. The guy gave me a hug. He says, Who are you here with? I said, I'm here by myself. He says, you know what? You're a good man. You're sitting with me at my table with my family. I said, you got to be kidding me, I said to myself. Carl, I can't do it. I have a family at home with three kids. They're waiting for me. I just had to meet you. I had some great words with him. I got a nice picture with him and his family. A year or two later, I actually had lunch with him. I don't like to not go to lunch without paying myself. It's probably one of the few times I ever got a free lunch, but it was a nice thing to get. And it was over a hamburger. And just a nice guy. And it's a guy that cares. Kyle's a guy that really, really cares in my book. I'm no perfectionist. There's things that, you know, that Kyle gets under people's skin. But you know what? He's doing the right thing for the kids. That's what really hits home with me as a kid. He's trying to help this community, trying to help the school system. I'm not a politician. I don't practice politics. I just like to deal with people that are truthful and that are trying to help people out. I try to do that in my life.
All right, Chris, thank you very much. Carl, as far as your productiveness in terms of helping the kids in the Buffalo schools, what impact do you think you've had?
Well, I think I've slowed down the chicanery and we've corrected some of the incompetence. I think I've blown up things like the Simonelli case. I've blown up some things that were nonsensical or foolish expenditures. I believe assisted in their purchasing by my commentary on how they should go about taking bids and making sure that they're following proper procedures. I think I've done quite a bit to impact it, but it's like pushing a boulder up a hill. It's very, very frustrating. It's such an embedded dysfunction. They don't want to even talk negative in any sense about the dysfunctionality of the schools. Right now, our proficiency in math and English is in the low teens, like 12 and 13% overall. But when you take out the criteria schools such as City Honors and Olmsted and Hutch Tech and Da Vinci, and you take them out of the equation, our proficiency in the other 52 schools is down in the low single digits. We had a school number 37, the Futures Academy, where last year, before Tanya Williams was relocated to another school, the proficiency in English was like 2.5%, and the proficiency in math was zero. I mean, meaning under state standards, only 2.5% of the kids met state standards in English, and none of the kids met state standards in math. I mean, those are the shocking truths.
And you know, you never, ever hear any statistics. If someone is dedicated to education and improving it, you would expect, all I've heard is that the school board is trying to get rid of Carl Paladino. What are you doing for the kids? What are you doing for schools? Here's the thing I have to ask you. If this thing works out the way it should, you go back to the school board. How do you work with people that hate you with such a passion? How do you even talk to each other based on, I mean, some things have been said during this entire episode that I really find difficult for any honorable person to walk back. Some things have been said about your character that I really, you've got to be careful when you make a statement like that about a man, especially when someone that you consider to be a colleague, someone that you're supposed to respect. You know, on the school board, how do you go back to that and work with these people after all these things that have been said?
Well, after almost 4 years of this, I sit there and I say this challenge is just unbelievable. Trying to right the ship, trying to straighten it out, trying to fix the boilers and make things work. It's a real challenge. I believe that. There couldn't have been a better decision made by Commissioner Elia than to have these hearings, because she got an earful. She heard about the incompetence and the dysfunction. She heard about the difficulty, and she's witnessed how difficult these people are and how tone deaf they are to reality and to doing the right thing. She heard that, and I believe at some point that I'm personally going to ask her to disband the Buffalo School Board and get rid of the superintendent and appoint a new master to come in here, a professional master to come in and straighten this dysfunction out.
Well, we obviously want to follow up on that. We're on the air live with Carl Paladino on his way back from Albany. I suspect he's somewhere to the west of Depew by now. But, Carl, you made a statement earlier about wanting basically outside oversight and control over the Buffalo Board of Education and Buffalo schools, if I heard you correctly.
Well, I mean, obviously the future is the future. Who knows what it holds? You know, when I go back on the board, if I'm not removed from the board, I will be the same guy I've always been, and I'll do the same things I've always done. I mean, it's a challenge, and I find it very challenging, and I think that it's something I can do that maybe some others can't, and that's all right with me. And I we'll do the best we can for the kids of the city of Buffalo.
So, Carl, you're saying that you're going to go back. This thing, we're looking at a couple weeks before we get an adjudication, a decision. But if things go your way, you're basically saying that the system as it exists right now must be broken up or we're not going to get any progress. Is that what you're saying?
Well, my present viewpoint is it's virtually impossible to push this boulder up the hill. In other words, to accomplish the goal of turning this thing. You know, when you run into something like we don't have any money anymore, okay? Because we gave it all away to the teachers. We don't have any money to enact the programs that we've been working on for the last couple of years, okay? That would be good for the system. We know that lower class sizes is so important. Well, we're not going to be able to lower class sizes. We'll probably have to increase class sizes because Kreiner and the board gave the farm away to the teachers. We don't have the money to pay for these things.
I mean, look, that's we spent more time, you know, chasing this this squirrel of trying to find out what was said in executive session, what is incidental, what's a comment. I mean, look, a lot of things are said in executive session, like I'd like a sandwich. If that is released out of executive session, is that pertinent to why you held an executive session? I mean, that's, to me...
Executive sessions have been abused, as they were on October 17, when they... when they passed the and ratified the teacher's contract. The most important thing that we were going to do on that board during our entire terms, okay, was negotiate and ratify a contract with the teachers, a $1.5 billion contract, okay? And they spent 2 hours in executive session cloaking their discussions, okay, which should have been open to the public so the public could see the incompetence of the board members as they discussed it. And there's no way that at least three or four members on that board were totally fluent in the questions of the financial impact of that contract on our revenues and on our budget. Then they come back into public session for 15 minutes. They let Larry and I ask a couple of questions, and then they disrespectful of the people is that. That is beyond irresponsibility. That is beyond incompetence, okay? And it to me, it appears as though it was part of a corrupt plan, okay? And that plan was to pay back Phil Rumor for his support for them to get elected on the board. And that's how small thinking these people are.
Well, if you thought Carl Paladino was backing down, you are absolutely misguided, my friends. This is a double down to the 10th power. And it's a guy who's fearless. This is what he's going to speak truth to power. And if you don't like it, you know, get out of the way.
Now, speaking truth to power only works one way in this country.
That's
without
right.
Politically correct ramifications coming down.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.